Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, cuts to the employer wage subsidy scheme have been reversed. The Taoiseach has said Ireland is not heading towards more travel restrictions ahead of Christmas. A Donegal TD this week spent over 10 minutes reading excerpts from the Brandon Report in the Dáil. Unvaccinated people are much more likely to need hospitalisation or treatment in ICU if they contract COVID-19, according to the HSE. And the first walk-in vaccination clinics for booster doses for people in their 50s will take place this weekend in the Letterkenny Vaccination Centre. Good evening. Those stories coming up in full. Much more besides that. We'll also have Oisin Kelly in studio with all the latest in sport. First in news though, cuts to the employer wage subsidy scheme have been reversed. Ministers took the move just 8 days after reducing the higher rates. They said no quicker solution could be found to get the support to the hospitality and live events sector ahead of Christmas. Public Expenditure Minister Michael McGrath says a number of measures were agreed that should help businesses hit badly by current restrictions.
Again, one of the reasons why we are extending the top rates is to encourage employers to keep their employees on the books. And I think we absolutely acknowledge that there will be an increase in the number of people on the pandemic unemployment payment. We want to keep that to a minimum because we think the connection between the employer and the employee is vital, and it's important to maintain that.
The Taoiseach has said Ireland is not heading towards more travel restrictions ahead of Christmas. Micheál Martin said he couldn't rule out bringing in more restrictions if the Omicron variant takes a turn. But he said for now the government wants to align with European health advice.
The antigen test we brought in, which you know, some people have had negative feelings about in terms of the airlines and so on like that, has already has resulted in a reduced volume of travel. But that's not the direction of travel right, right now. We want to align ourselves with the European policy approach to travel, notwithstanding the challenges of the virus.
A Donegal TD this week spent over 10 minutes reading excerpts from the Brandon Report in the Dáil. Deputy Thomas Pringle read the parts during a debate on amendments to the Health Insurance Bill. Deputy Pringle says he did so to keep pressure on the HSE to publish the report. At one point, he was interrupted by the Cann Corla, Sean O'Fergal.
The first reference of concerns about Brandon being escalated to senior management was in a letter by Psychiatrist One to his GP dated on the 7th of February 2008, which stated, I will be speaking with senior nursing staff in relation to the management of Brandon's behaviour. I will be raising the issues of and managing this type of individual within our current resources with a local health manager.
Interrupt people, but it's some stretch of the imagination now to relate that case to the subject matter of the
bill. This is a health bill we're discussing, and I listened to other members here tonight that they didn't strictly adhere to the.
Maybe if you could connect it, if you could.
I'll connect it up at the end.
You're getting to there,
Working towards that, because I think it's vitally important. The first reference to concerns about Brandon being escalated to senior management was in a letter by Psychiatrist One to his GP dated the 7th of February 2008, which stated, I will be speaking with senior nursing staff in relation to management of Brandon's behaviour. I will be raising the issues of managing this type of individual within our current resources with a local health manager. On the 6th of July 2008, Psychiatrist One subsequently wrote to the local health manager in the area referencing the relocation of residents from Abbeyside to the Stillwater complex and urging the relocation to take place sooner rather than later. The letter stated three residents in particular are at significant risk of both physical and sexual assault from the other residents. The letter also stated one patient requires constant supervision due to a combination of frontal lobe damage and mental illness as he is opportunistically assaulting others sexually.
News just in, a second case of the Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been detected in Ireland. A total of two cases of the variant have been confirmed here so far. Well, unvaccinated people are much more likely to need hospitalisation or treatment in ICU if they contract COVID-19, says the HSE. Those who haven't received a jab for around 1 in 11 account for around 1 in 7 cases, But in ICU, they're taking up more than 45% of beds. More than 1 million booster and additional dose jabs have been administered so far in the rollout in Ireland. Chief Clinical Officer Dr. Colm Henry says getting the vaccine is the best protection against COVID-19.
Perhaps the greatest difference is in those who are vaccinated and unvaccinated. And ICU, again, a huge difference per 100,000. If you look at that difference in that blue line at the bottom, the very low risk of ICU admission for those who are fully vaccinated versus the very high risk in the yellow line for those who are unvaccinated.
The first walk-in vaccination clinics for booster doses for people in their 50s will take place this weekend in the Letterkenny Vaccination Centre. Just a reminder, the centre has relocated to the Letterkenny Business Park in Ballyrain. The clinics will take place on Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Saturday, the booster doses will be available for those who had their second dose on or before the 14th of July, and on Sunday for people who had their second dose on or before the 15th of July. The Stormont Executive is meeting today to discuss the Omicron variant of COVID-19. They're considering stricter enforcement of existing rules, but no extra restrictions are expected. Some reports reckon the Omicron variant is more transmissible but less severe, meaning more people will build up antibodies quicker. But Northern Ireland's chief scientific advisor, Ian Young, says it's simply too early to say.
And I think it remains possible that Omicron will turn out to be somewhat less severe, but it remains possible it will be equally severe or indeed even more severe than Delta.
A Donegal deputy has hit out at the government over what's been described as a lack of action on rising fuel and electricity costs. Households across the country are under increasing pressure over a sharp rise in energy bills, with some reporting a 71% increase in the cost of oil alone. There's calls for a specific scheme to be put in place to help people most in need by contributing towards the rising costs. Speaking in the Dáil today, Deputy Pearse Doherty says by the time the government actually come up with a solution, it'll be summertime again.
There seems to be a kind of trend here. We had the same thing with you were going to roll out free antigen tests and then share Lidl and all that sorted it out for you. It's likely that the same thing will happen here. It will take so long to actually come up with a scheme that the weather will have been got better, we'll be into the spring or the summer, and you'll say, sure, it's not needed any longer. We've been raising this issue since October with the government. 35 energy price increases, where, you know, it's, what, 4 degrees yesterday. I'm not sure the temperature at the minute outside. People are suffering as a result of these energy price increases. €1,300 per year, bonkers.ie are telling us. And you haven't mentioned anything about the, how we actually offset the rapid rise in relation to oil prices, where most of rural Ireland use oil instead of electricity and gas to heat their homes, and which has seen the sharpest increase at 71% per year. So there are solutions. There's indeed a model that we have already has here through the energy discount scheme that we can do, the electricity discount scheme that we can expand to other operators. So can I ask you, when is the government going to bring forward a scheme? I'm conscious that next week is the last week that we have sitting. And while government basically do nothing on this here, bills are coming in, households are under additional pressure, and they're wondering how they make ends meet.
Responding, Tánaiste de Leo Varadkar says a number of measures are being put in place to counteract the rise, and took a swipe at Sinn Féin in the process.
It's very much the view of government that we need to take action and do something to help people with their energy bills in the new year. We're particularly focusing on electricity because that's a bill that everyone gets and something that people have to use, and you don't have any choice as to what type of energy you use. It's what comes in on the wires. I'm working on that at the moment, and as I say, if we're going to do something that makes an impact on people's bills in the new year, well, we'll have to make a decision on that in the next week or two. But it is being worked on, as I speak, by Minister Donoghue McGrath and Minister Ryan as well. But I'm sorry you didn't acknowledge some of the things that the government is doing as well to help people with the cost of living. Pay increases next year, minimum wage increase kicking in January. Most people in the private sector getting decent pay increases this year coming, and indeed they should, in my view. Welfare and pension increases, fuel allowance increased already, pensions and other welfare increases going up in January, and also reductions in income tax for middle-income earners. And it's not just low-income earners that struggle with the bills, by the way. Middle-income people and middle-class people do too. We're reducing income tax from the new year, and people will see that in their pay slips in January, and they'll know when they see that that's something Sinn Féin opposed.
A master plan is to be drawn up for Milford after the town was included in a new town centre first plan scheme announced today by Rural and Community Minister Heather Humphreys. €100,000 will be provided for the drawing up of a plan to tackle dereliction and revitalise the town centre, with the lead to be taken by Donegal County Council. Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh says it's an important initiative and will add to the important work already taking place in the community.
It's the bottom-up approach, and with the councillors highlighting these issues, obviously that ensures that it gets a priority at a council level to look at ways of addressing the potential that's in Milford. It's a former market town with two very, very successful secondary schools and a primary school. There's a lot going in Milford, but I do think that it needs attention, and with this money, I'm hoping that the aims and the objectives of the local community are taken on board.
€100,000 is a good start, but it's going to come nowhere near even close to being able to address some of the dereliction issues. You're hopeful that there will be a continued commitment to this plan and we will see real funding for real projects follow on?
A lot of the departments now are looking at sustainability and projects that are not just once-off and, you know, just getting X amount of monies and then moving on. I think now with the attention that the council is giving Milford and the priority as the number one town, this will be the building blocks for ensuring that there will be further funding and whatever investigative work needs to be done at this stage, that money will go in that direction, and then whatever follow-up priorities are needed, no doubt at a political level locally, this will be, you know, kept on the agenda, and certainly the work that IRD Milford are doing as well, working very, very hard to ensure that the local businesses, the local people that live in Milford, that their voice is heard. That's really, really important.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It is time for all the latest in sport. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly. Thanks, Catherine. We start with news of soccer. And Ren are reportedly declining Tottenham's proposed new date for their postponed Conference League fixture. UEFA finally called off the game this morning, with the Spurs squad decimated by COVID-19. The Premier League club have suggested playing the game next Wednesday, but Ren say they've no intention of honouring the refixed date. There is a host of cross-channel clubs all in action tonight. Celtic manager Ange Postecoglou says their Europa League match with Real Betis is a chance for some of his fringe players to impress. They've already been eliminated from the competition ahead of this evening's game, which starts at Parkhead at 8 o'clock. Postecoglou wants those members of the squad who have been lacking game time recently to make the most of their opportunity tonight.
To give some game time to players who haven't had a lot lately, so that, you know, should they be needed going forward, or if they get an opportunity, you know, they've played some football against, you know, obviously a good quality opponent, which will be a good test for us.
Leicester's Brendan Rodgers has promised to be positive when they take on Napoli in the Europa League this evening, despite them being without seven key players due to COVID and injuries. The result in the final group game will determine if they progress top of the group or crash out of the competition. Rodgers says he's happy they'll have their fate in their own hands.
You know, we win the game, we top the group, and as long as we don't lose, then we qualify from there. So yeah, I think the key is just to be really positive in our mindset.
Also this evening, West Ham and Rangers, who are already guaranteed knockout places ahead of their respective games against Dynamo Zagreb and Lyon. Atalanta's final Champions League group match against Villarreal was postponed last night because of heavy snow. It's got the go-ahead now for this evening, and it gets underway in just under an hour's time, around about 6 o'clock. In Scotland, Hibs have sacked head coach Jack Ross after losing 1-0 to Livingston in the Premiership last night. It was the club's seventh defeat in their last 9 top-flight matches. The decision comes just over a week before they face Celtic in the Scottish League Cup final at Hampden. In boxing, Irish elite champion Paddy McShane will seek out an Ulster title tonight. The Letterkenny ABC fighter faces Craig Bigger of Cookstown in tonight's flyweight final in Belfast. Meanwhile, boxing has not been included on the initial programme of sports for the 2028 Olympic Games in Los Angeles. Modern pentathlon and weightlifting have also lost their spots at the LA Games unless they can meet certain criteria.
Boxing is by far Ireland's most successful Olympic sport, with 18 of the country's 35 medals coming inside the ring. The IOC wants certain criteria to be met before the ousted sports can be reinstated. Briony Forrest has thanked the racing public for their support after fellow jockey Robbie Dunn was found guilty of harassing and bullying her. He's been handed an 18-month ban with 3 months suspended by the British Horse Racing Authority. Three charges of violent and threatening behaviour are yet to be considered. The majority of the incidents took place last year. On the snooker front, Fergal O'Brien will look to continue his giant killing streak at the Scottish Open this evening. The Dubliner faces UK Championship runner-up Luca Brasseil. Already today, there have been wins for John Higgins, Judd Trump and David Gilbert. Just looking ahead to this weekend, the Under-21A Football Championship final in Donegal, scheduled for Sunday, will now have an earlier throw-in time by 15 minutes. McCool's against St Unions at the Adonagh Park in Letterkenny will start now at 1:45. That's at 1:45 and not 2 o'clock as earlier advertised this week. And we'll be looking forward to that final on the Score programme tonight after the 7 o'clock news. We'll hear from Gary Wilson, coach with the McCool's club. Plus, we'll be hearing from Park Ryan, manager of St Unions. Also on the show, Anthony Boyle will be speaking to Tom Comack, looking ahead to Downing's Ulster Championship semi-final against Sean McDermott's on Saturday. And Brendan Herbie-McDade of Letterkenny AC will be telling us all about his role this weekend at the European Cross Country Championships, which are taking place in Dublin. That's all on the Score tonight, as usual, just after the 7 news. Catherine.
Thanks, Oisín. Weather now, rain, drizzle and mist continuing to clear eastwards this evening, followed by scattered showers later. Tonight there will be clear spells and scattered showers, and some of the showers will be of hail and there might be sleet at higher elevations. Lowest temperatures of 1 to 3 degrees. Closing headlines now. Cuts to the employer wage subsidy scheme have been reversed. Ministers took the move just 8 days after reducing the higher rates. The Taoiseach has said Ireland is not heading towards more travel restrictions ahead of Christmas, and that breaking news from earlier, a second case of the Omicron variant has been confirmed in Ireland. No details of the case, such as whether it was travel related, have been confirmed. That's it for now. Stand by. Chris Ashmore is here with all the latest in farming, and the obituary notices will follow that. Good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, this evening our special focus of attention is the whole area of renewable energy and the opportunities that could be coming down the track for farmers, landowners and indeed small communities. I've been speaking with Paul O'Brien, the chair of the IFA's Environmental and Rural Affairs Committee, whose brief also includes renewables. I began by asking him to outline how things stand at present and how a new small-scale generation scheme is on its way, which will permit farmers, communities and businesses to develop renewable electricity projects.
Well, thank you, Chris, for allowing me onto your show this evening. And look, yes, you're correct. There's a lot happening. If you take a look at, I suppose, the climate change advisory council sectorial targets there a couple of weeks back, where they were looking for renewables to go up to about 80% of the country's total production from electricity will be coming from some form of a renewable source. So that's given a kind of a bit more momentum into the whole renewables debate. We're looking at a couple of individual schemes, and maybe I'll just talk you, Chris, through some of the of where we are. The microgeneration support scheme has been spoken about for a couple of years now, but we believe that the final part of this will be coming to government in the next couple of weeks and maybe into very early into the new year. And this is really setting the feed-in tariff that domestic users who have solar panels or farmers will be able to export and receive a payment back. So this was the key last piece of the jigsaw. But once that figure is announced, we're hoping that this will also encourage more consumers, more farmers to adapt to the technologies and also, you know, reduce their greenhouse gas emissions that would normally be associated with producing with oil or coal or peat particularly as well. You know, this changes then. So we have more and more people engaged in a decarboned economy to help reduce emissions, particularly from energy.
Since, I suppose, the foundation of the state, we're buying our electricity from now a number of electricity companies, and this is going to be a whole sea change that many people and small groups can actually start generating electricity, put it back into the system, get paid for it. It's quite transformational. Just by way of example, Paul, there's opportunities for farmers, but also small local community groups could be cashing in here.
We think so, and one of the big things is that, and there's three different levels. You have the micro generation, which is between 6 kilowatts and 50 kilowatts. Now that's kind of would be small users, domestic users, but going up to maybe your average kind of, I suppose, your larger dairy farms, your pig and poultry units could use that. But the middle section is, I would suggest, is new. It's been spoken about now for the first time, but we believe that there's going to be a big play in this area, particularly over the next couple of years. So really that's between 50 kilowatts and 1 megawatt. And just to give you a bit of an example, the large turbines we see on the hilltops, if you're going through Donegal, they're about 2.5 megawatts. So they're large. This is bringing it down to a kind of a smaller community-based scheme. If you were talking about solar panels, about 5 acres of solar panels, ground-mounted solar panels, would produce about 1 megawatt. And there's an opportunity there for communities for to get involved. If there was 5 acres around a town or a village that could be purchased, it could be a community effort to allow the electricity that's produced in that 5 acres to be used as a part of the town supply. This is where it's all evolving to. If a farmer has 5 acres beside a factory unit, maybe, there's no reason why they couldn't do an amalgamation together where the electricity from the field beside the factory could be fed into the factory. So we are starting to see what is happening in Europe now coming down to a kind of an Irish level. And thankfully enough now, it's one of those things, Chris, unfortunately, if you live long enough, what you envisage for the future starts to looking like it is starting to take shape. But we are really just, all we're doing now is catching up with what other countries in Europe are doing.
And the hope must be that as technology advances and price falls, that it will be something that people can buy into, and that there'll be a quicker payback in many cases than is the case at the moment.
Absolutely. And look, if you said to anybody 10, 15 years ago that you could be producing electricity in places like Donegal from your own rooftop supply, people would have said, okay, look, it's fantasy. But the reality is that because of the reduction in the hardware and the panels are coming down in price year on year on year. And as a result of that, there is a kind of an economic tipping point where at that stage, people can start thinking about this. But I don't want to kind of mislead people either, Chris, because there is a payback time. We are looking for grants in farms. We're looking for TAMS grants at the moment. I'm aware that the SEAI help to help finance at a smaller level, but these will need to be, there will need to be grants available in order to adapt at this particular moment in time. But yes, it is getting to a stage where it is becoming more practical, and it's getting to the stage where, particularly when energy prices are rising, and everybody just has to take a look at their electricity bill over the last couple of months to realise, yes, they are escalating. The quicker that you come in and maybe become a pioneer and an early adapter, yes, you're going to meet that critical point quicker. And, these panels could last up to 20, 25 years. And, your payback time will be, over a certain number of years. And then you're effectively creating free electricity for yourself.
And as well as solar panels, given the climate that we have up here also. Wind turbines are also going to feed into it.
Absolutely. And look, there's no doubt about this, that it's this new proposed middle scheme, I'll call it, the scheme between 50 kilowatts and 1 megawatt, that's not technology specific. In other words, if there's a technology that can be that's there, it's not going to be limited. So therefore, it's not going to be limited to solar panels. It's not going to be limited to wind. It could be hydro. It could be something, as long as it's a renewable source in some shape or form. But I do think that's a very interesting place that we should now be considering. You know, massive opportunity for local communities or farmers to maybe look at this and to be a part of the decarboned economy going forward. We also have to be very aware, Chris, that it's another aspiration of the government. By the time we get to the end of this decade, there's going to be 1 million electric cars on the road. Look, it's going to be expensive. There's no doubt about that. But sometimes you do have to take a longer timeline view and say, yes, if the technology price is coming down, it does give us an opportunity to jump onto that at some stage.
And finally, Paul, we hear a lot about real diversification opportunities for farmers down the road. This could be a source of income which could boost the household income for many farmers.
One of the things that I would say that we're a major disadvantage compared to our kind of European counterparts is passive income streams. Most farmers are totally dependent on their farming output in order to, you know, pay the bills. But we have to raise our ambition. European farmers across the European Union at the moment, the average is about 12.5% of micro production feeds into their grids. So a massive amount of ambition needs to be created. And hopefully these schemes that have been announced will bring that. So I believe that in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, we'll be a completely different place than where we are today.
And that was Paul O'Brien, the chair of the IFA Environmental and Rural Affairs Committee. And finally, congratulations to Andrew Greer of Airhill National School in Remelton, who won the IFA poster competition about the importance of farming to the Irish economy. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lyford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lyford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lyford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, the 9th of December. The death has taken place of Mary O'Reilly, Green Gardens, Lanesborough, County Longford, and formerly of Castlebaine Road, Letterkenny. Reposing at Glennon's Funeral Home, Ballinalee Road, Longford, tomorrow from 7 p.m, concluding with prayers at 9 p.m. Mass of the Resurrection on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Mary's Church, Lanesborough, interment afterwards in Clonbonny Cemetery. The Mass will be streamed live on churchtv.ie/Lanesborough. Family flowers only, please. House private to family and friends only, please. The death has taken place of Brendan Houston, 253 Melmount Road, Victoria Bridge, and formerly of Newton Stewart. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Oratory, Newton Stewart, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Glenoch Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Dementia NI, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. House and funeral strictly private. The death has taken place of Aaron Harkin, 33 Melmount Road, Strabane. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday afternoon at 25 to 1 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmount at 1 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Coram Centre, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Hugh Francis McHugh, Lower Brackey, Ardra. His remains are reposing at his late residence with neighbours and close friends welcome. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Holy Family Ardrath for funeral mass at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations, if desired, to Killybegs Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Derek McCabe, funeral director. The death has taken place of John Harley, Glendowen, Church Hill. Viewing this evening in the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, from 7 to 8:30pm. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for Mass at 11 o'clock in St. Colum Kills Church, Glendowen, followed by interment in Garton Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred in London of Nora Sweeney, née Paddy O'Gallagher, formerly of Mulladuff. Her remains are reposing at the family home of her late parents in Mulladuff. Removal tomorrow at 1 o'clock, going to her home in Ballydevitt, Donegal Town. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Killymard, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Michael O'Donnell, Shrove, Greencastle. His remains are reposing at the home of his nephew, Danny McCann, Rosebank. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. House private to family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Mary Gallagher, née McAleer, Demens Castle Finn, and formerly of Ballybowen Lifford. Requiem Mass will be celebrated tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Castle Finn, interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Castle Finn. The Mass can be viewed via the parish Facebook page. The house is private to family and close friends. Family, flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired, to Barnsview Ward, St Joseph's Community Hospital, Stranorlar, care of Charles Lynch, funeral director, Castle Derg. And the death has taken place of Liam O'Neill, 16, Ardcolumkill, Letterkenny. Family and close friends welcome to the family home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, travelling via Beechwood Road and Ard O'Donnell, going to St Union's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family, flowers only please, donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to Ballymacool Respite House, care of any family member. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.